Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Exchange Church Belfast. And if you're a regular with us this morning, we are delighted that you are joining us in this. Well, it's been lovely weather, but this week's turned a wee bit bad. And we're now back on normal service here in Northern Ireland, which is just cold and wet. And so that's all good. But if you've been tuning in over the last few weeks, you know that I've been reading from Psalm 23 in our Summer in the Psalm series, where we're just looking at the Psalms and how they reveal Jesus to us. And this morning, I want to encourage you that as you're listening to me, to really tune in and let your heart be open to what the Lord wants to speak to you about. Because, you know, the Psalms, even though they're in the Old Testament, they reveal Jesus to us the whole way through, because the whole narrative of Scripture is about Jesus from beginning to end. And this morning, whatever's going on in your world, whatever's going on in your circumstances, if you can just open your heart this morning, wherever you're at, whatever situation you find yourself in, and just receive more of Jesus this morning, then I know that your situation will be transformed by His grace. And so that's my prayer for you today. My prayer for you is as you listen to me, and I just finish off Psalm 23. Actually, I'm going to just talk about one thing, which is about how do we, you know, last week I talked about seeing in the table that was laid before us that we see Jesus in the wine and in the bread on the table. And I'm going to talk today about how we see Jesus in the oil, because it says in Psalm 23 about how He anoints us with oil. And that is a beautiful picture of Jesus. I'm just going to reveal Jesus to you today and pray that you're encouraged as I do it. So if you've got your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. I just want to read it again at the beginning. But keep your finger on it, because you can cast your eye over it as I'm speaking today. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." Remember I said that? When you follow the path of righteousness, it always leads to a place of hope. "So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And I listen to this verse. "You anoint my head with oil, and then my cup overflows." I'm going to talk about that today. "And then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I suppose one of the things about this psalm is when we start to round it up, Psalm 23:6 is such an incredibly important verse, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It begins with surely. I want to speak to you today about your confidence, because this word surely is not perhaps, it's not maybe, it's not probably, but it's definitely. Goodness and mercy, the Hebrew hased, meaning grace, shall follow you. And in fact, follow you in English doesn't do it justice. What this psalm promises is when we see Jesus, that His hased, His grace, all right, the word follow in Hebrew is stronger than follow in English, but it means to pursue. It means to hunt you down. And so the whole context of this psalm is for you to remember today that grace is hunting you down, that favor is hunting you down, is pursuing you. Every step of every day, of every bit of your life, the Lord's goodness, the Lord's favor, the Lord's healing is hunting you down. You know, it's that kind of sense, isn't it, of the Lord searching you out. Not that we have to, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, "Lord, I need to find you," and all that stuff, and "Where are you?" and all this. And, you know, you might even have asked yourself that question, like, "God, are you even here? Do you even know what's going on?" But yet we have this reminder in the psalm today that His grace, His favor, it's not us searching it out, but He's actually hunting us down with it. And He's hunting you down. So wherever you are today, rest and relax and know that His favor is surely, absolutely, definitely, chesed, grace is hunting you down. Now, the whole context of this psalm is about sheep and shepherds, right? So when goodness and mercy follow you, right, it's this picture of being cared for by the Father, as shepherd would look after the sheep, all right? So it's this kind of protective. We talked about that with the rod and the scepter a couple of weeks ago. Now, let me get onto the oil today, because this is a phenomenal picture of Jesus. And one of the things that uh, I I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I have been to Israel a number of times. And one of the things that we got to do is we went to the Golan Heights, and we visited this place, like a big factory where they press olives and they produce all sorts of things from olives. And what's really interesting is that, you know, there's a process that the olives go through, and the olives are pressed 3 times, right? And when we think about it on the outside, that doesn't might seem like an important thing to you, but it's a beautiful type of Jesus and what he did for you and me. Now, it used to be when olives were first being harvested that they didn't use all of it. Okay, they would just use a bit of it and chuck away the rest. And what happened was farmers started to realize that all of the olive could be used. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because in this picture of Jesus as the olive, right, and as the oil, what happens is that some of us live and we only access just a part of what Jesus did for us. Just, you know, like we might use one of the first pressing, which I'm going to talk about today. But I want to encourage you today that you can use all of Jesus's work for you in your life. It's like the Lord invites you today, not just to take a little bit of what Jesus has done, but to access fully his full work. And, you know, there are many believers, right, who just like, they're saved and they're in the meeting, but don't believe for anything else from the Lord. But you've got a better promise than that. And the olives actually are pressed 3 times, and they're pressed 3 times to derive the full benefit. So what's interesting is there is much more benefit when we understand his grace to the work of Jesus. We understand that he just didn't die to bring us from darkness into light, although that's really important. That's where religion stops, right? It's like you can believe for this much, but you can't believe for anything more. But salvation, soteria in Greek, means welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, salvation, safety from all of the earthly ills. And I think the Lord's inviting you today to go, you know, expand your heart, expand your thinking, expand your mind this morning to say, Jesus, I want to access you fully. I just don't want to access a little bit of your work, but I want your full work to be evident in my life. Whatever you have for me, Lord, I want it all. So what we're going to see is just in the natural, how olives are pressed 3 times, it mirrors exactly, and they do it today in Israel, okay? I'll show you it very quickly, but just as that happens in Israel today, in the olives, it's a beautiful picture of Jesus, which is referenced in Psalm 23. Now, remember in verse 5, it says, "You anoint my head with oil." You anoint my head with oil. I said a couple of weeks ago, this is how the shepherds would pour oil over the sheep's heads. And, you know, if they didn't do that, what would happen is little flies that would go around the sheep would lay sort of eggs and worms, right, would develop in the sheep. And the maggots actually would dig deep into the sheep's brains, not very nice, and it would drive them actually mad. Right? And it's this kind of picture, isn't it, of how the enemy, you know, the enemy is described as the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub and all that stuff. And so what happens is he comes and he puts stuff into our mind that burrows away into our thinking and drives us to distraction at times with fear and worry and anxiety and all of this kind of stuff. And what the shepherd does is he comes and he pours this oil on the head of the sheep, and it killed the eggs, killed the maggots and killed the flies. And so the sheep were able to live free. And so this oil, how it's derived is absolutely brilliant. And I know you're going to be encouraged and blessed. And in fact, see if you are encouraged and blessed this morning, help me out here by just dropping a line in the chat by going, Andrew, I'm listening, I'm tuned in, my heart's open, my heart's attentive, and I want to have the word of God bless me today. So in Psalm 92, there's another reference to the same word oil that's used in Psalm 23. And Psalm 92 is called the Song of Shabbat. And it says, "You have poured over me fresh oil." Now, in Hebrew, this is ranan. It means green. And green in the Bible speaks of grace and of the new covenant. So what we see here is, "You have poured over me fresh oil." Ranan is, "You have poured over me the story of grace, the gift of grace." And it's the story of Jesus. Because actually what we see is that, like, in the first time that Jesus is pressed is in Gethsemane, right? And so to get this oil of grace that's poured out over us, right, that we can receive, the olive had to be pressed in order to get the oil from it. And first of all, we see it in Gethsemane. You know, Gethsemane means the olive press. That's what Gethsemane means. And it was the first pressing of Jesus in the darkness. Now what happens is, in the first pressing, it was the purest oil that came out. And it was the oil that lit the tabernacle back in the old days. Okay, so where there was darkness, actually this first crushing produced the finest oil, which was then used to light the lamps in the tabernacle. Now, what's interesting is this, is that Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane, and it's his first crushing, he starts to pour out his blood. Remember, he starts to sweat blood, and it starts to hit the ground. And so what's interesting is, this is the start of the journey of us coming out of darkness and into light. And what's really interesting is, when we think about the oil of the Holy Spirit, when we think about this oil, it shows us that the Holy Spirit only ever lights up what Jesus says about us in the middle of darkness. Okay, remember that it's that whenever you light something and there's light, it doesn't bring darkness, it brings light. So when the Lord looks at you today and he starts to pour his grace onto you and his love onto you, he never brings about shame, he never brings about condemnation, he never guilts you. You know, that's what it says in Romans 8 verse 1, isn't it? Therefore, there is now no condemnation, an absolute negative. And so that means that all of our failure and all the consequences of that failure, katakrima in Greek, mean that feeling of deserving to be punished and condemned, right? That has gone because of this first pressing in Gethsemane, where the blood of Jesus starts to get poured out. And so what happens in this first pressing, just like it lit up the darkness with the light of God, this is the picture of us being absolutely saved, okay? And so the oil of grace is poured onto us, and we are brought out of darkness and into light. Isn't this what Samuel talked about? You remember Samuel in the Old Testament, when he was the guy who was going to anoint David to be king? You know, he kept looking backwards, Samuel, and the Lord needed to speak to him to get to his attention. And what he says is really interesting. And the Lord's talking to you today. So actually, if we read, it says, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel?" Remember, Saul had been anointed king, right? Now, and, you know, I think Samuel just kind of, he was just grieving over a poor decision, I guess. You know what I mean? And he was kind of moping and living in the past. And what does the Lord say here, right? The Lord says, "Fill your horn with oil," the same word, renan, "and go," okay? 1 Samuel 16. And so there's this sense, even for us this morning, of how long are we going to look backwards? How long will you have an eye over what is now past in your life and done? How long are you going to go around in circles this morning, folks, not making any real progress? The Lord says to you, fill yourself up with this first, like with the fresh oil of Jesus, which has lifted you out of darkness into light. You're not in your past anymore. Why are you looking back? See, when the Lord comes to you, he anoints you fresh again to look forward into the future that he has for you. Okay? And so what happens is, for many of us, we live, you know, even though we know about grace and we know about the work of Jesus, we live in our mistakes, we live in our past, we live in our mess, we live in our hang-ups, we live in the place where we shouldn't be. And the Lord comes along, a bit like he says to Samuel, going, "You might have messed it up, you might have made the wrong decision, you might have got the wrong guy, but you know what? Forget it, because there is a fresh anointing of my grace for the future." And that's what the Lord's saying to you today. There's also a double benefit here. The first press of the oil, whilst it lit up the temple, it was also the oil that was used to anoint kings. Now, this is brilliant. It's what moved somebody to be into a position of ruling and being the head. So we see that this oil that lights up the sacrifice on the table, okay, is the same oil that transforms the very ordinary into a king. That's what happened to David. He was transformed in a moment from a shepherd to a king whenever he was anointed with oil. And that oil that he was anointed with was the first pressing. The first pressing, okay, that lights up the tabernacle in the menorah, and we see it in Jesus. Okay, so in the darkness, remember, like where there's darkness in the temple, the first pressing of the oil lights it up. Well, in Gethsemane, which means oil, which means the olive press, okay, oil press, You know, Jesus in Gethsemane suffered in the darkness, but he suffered in the darkness so that he could bring you and me into the light of God's grace this morning. And so that's the first pressing that we see, and this is what he anoints us with. Now, the second pressing is really interesting too. When olives are pressed for a second time, what they do is after the first bit comes out, the second bit is normally used for medicine and some cosmetics as well, but primarily it's medicine. And where do we see this in the life of Jesus? So when you press an olive for the second time, it goes once around the system, goes again. What comes out then in the husk and stuff is used to create. I actually tried this on my skin when I was there. It looked gorgeous, even more gorgeous than what I do now. And it like kind of burned your skin as it cleansed it. It was an amazing kind of thing, right? And you just whack it on like a mud pack and then cleaned it off. And you're probably thinking I could do with another one of those, but that's what we did when we were in Israel. And it's funny because we see this mirrored in the life of Jesus at the scourging post. So this press is used for medicine, which is used obviously for healing. And we see at the scourging post, Jesus was ripped and torn so that you could be healed. And so the second pressing of Jesus in his story is for your healing. Jesus, you know, his crushing, if you like, continued at the scourging post when he was scourged violently by the Romans. He took lash after brutal lash, bearing every stripe until his skin was torn and his bones were exposed. We can read that in Psalm 22:17. And why did he do that? Well, it was all to purchase your healing and your health. That's why the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus was put on that post and he was scourged. He was scourged today so that one of your biggest enemies, which is sickness, could be overcome. And so what he does is he anoints your head with oil and your cup runs over. What that means is, you know, when we look at the ministry of Jesus, not just in the word, but in us today, his ministry was to make you whole. And if you need a touch in your body today, if you need healing in your body, just wherever you are right now, just say, Lord, I receive your anointing because you hung on that scourging post. Your back and your shoulders and your legs were ripped asunder. And by those stripes, I am healed. The second pressing of the olive so that we could be healed. Isn't that amazing? You know, when you look at the ministry of Jesus in action, you know, it hopefully will encourage you. Let me read when it comes to healing. And this is in your mind as well as in your body. It says when Jesus, let me give you some verses. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him to all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. And those who were demon-possessed, epileptic and paralytic, he healed them, Matthew 4. Now it says all kinds of sickness, not some sickness, all kinds, disease, torment, and he healed them. They brought people to him, and he healed them. I think we need to bring more people today to Jesus. Honestly, I think some of us who are listening today need to reach out that hand of friendship. We need to reach out to our friends and our family members and to our neighbors and to bring them to the one who will heal them. You know, even when it comes to believers today who are still not sure, okay, about whether God wants them to be well or not, this is why I love grace. This is why, you know, think about those sheep, like the little flies and maggots of doubt, like, God made me sick. God wants me to be sick. God wants me to be depressed. God has gifted me with this so that his glory might be. All that kind of thinking, which is so old covenant and not new, okay? I think many believers today they're only using a little bit of the olive. They're only using a little bit of Jesus' work because they still have those flies of doubt, it burrowing into their thinking. And that's what I think you need to reach across today. I think the Lord's going to put people in your mind, even as you're listening to me today, and to send the text to encourage them that God loves them, to encourage them to listen to this talk, to encourage them to come to church, to encourage them to try the Lord if they've never done it before. You know, and even when you think about people who are believers, there are many people today who are still not sure but about whether Jesus wants them to be well or not. But the disciples and the New Testament writers were pretty unanimous. Let me read to you again from the Word. When evening had come, it says, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took our sickness, he bore it himself so that we could be healed. Now, make no bones about it. There is some controversy about this, and people, you know, will say, well, that only refers to spiritual sickness, all right? And I kind of go, no, don't do that, because if you hold wrong positions, right, like the whole Bible can fall apart very quickly, you know? And if you don't actually have, like, when you don't know what something means, you can't have confidence in it. So when you don't know that when Jesus said he healed them all, that means it all, and it means it for you, then you can have a lack of confidence. You can make you insecure. Or even worse, people just start to make stuff up based on what they think, they feel, or they experience. But the word is absolutely clear. It says here in Matthew, he healed all who were sick. All right? Let me just give you this word, healed. What does that actually mean? Well, the actual Greek word is to restore, to heal back to the original condition. And if people go, well, that was just people who were spiritually sick. Actually, the word sick is kakos, and it means to be bodily ill or miserable. Now, excuse me, where it says that this might be fulfilled in verse 17, the word is pleru, which means to complete or accomplish. Now that he himself took on, the word is lambano. It means he actively laid hold of, took hold of, he aggressively seized it, right? And it's like this real assertiveness of Jesus to take sickness, to grab it and to take it away from us. And this word infirmity is asthenia, and it's used actually 19 times in the New Testament, and it always refers to disease and sickness. Now the word, and he bore them on himself, is bastasso, which means to lift and to remove away from someone. And again, our sicknesses is a word nosos, 12 times it's used as a chronic persisting disease, and typically something that's incurable. So in this second pressing of Jesus, let me just kind of do an Andrew Toogood rewrite on this. And if you were to kind of rewrite some of those words back in, it would sound like this for you today. And he restored to full health all of the people who came to him with sickness in their bodies. He did that so that people would see and understand that the prophecy that they knew from Isaiah, sorry, we're in the hood here, was being completely and totally fulfilled and carried out right in front of their eyes. That prophecy said that the Messiah would aggressively take hold of and deal with our sickness and our disease, and would remove and take away from us the chronic sickness and illness that we suffer in our bodies. So I love that. I love that when we see you anoint my head with oil. Well, number one, it's about lifting us out of darkness and into light. But secondly, it's about restoring us in our mind and in our bodies. And, you know, Jesus demonstrated much better than I ever could explain. You know, he just did it. Let me give you a few more examples. It says here that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was what? He was moved with compassion for them. You know, some of us don't even believe that the Lord sees our issues, never mind is moved with compassion. The thing, sympathy, you see, is just kind of, oh, that's terrible. But compassion is more than that. Compassion is I see it and I move to do something about it. Okay, I'm not just observing what's wrong with you. I have done something and I'm moving towards action to make it better for you. That's Matthew 9:35. It says there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, Matthew 12:15. And another verse says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And again, he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. The word is aristosos there. It means those who were without physical strength, who were weak or who were sick. Matthew 14 says he healed them. Let me give you another verse. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out all that of that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, kakos, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched it, they were made perfectly well, Matthew 14. I guess what I'm trying to say to you today is this, is that you have access, that same Jesus, okay, that we're reading about there, who was moved with compassion when he saw dysfunction and disease and sickness, is the same Jesus that is loving on you in this very moment. You have access to that work of healing. Just as we see that Jesus in the grain and in the wine, in the bread and in the wine, we see him in the oil. We see that actually in that second pressing on the scourging post, as his back was ripped to pieces, every one of those stripes was for your healing. And he demonstrated it and he showed it, and he hasn't changed this morning, folks. He's still the same one. He's still the same one who loves you and heals you, and it's his work of grace. If you are worried or anxious today, if you're afraid today, then listen to what I'm saying. The word comes to you and says, no, I took that on myself so that you could walk free. And you know, I just even feel like as I'm speaking here this morning, preaching, whatever, I just kind of feel like, you know, there's somebody in one of those little earworms that's burrowing into your head and worries about being sick in the future because there's sickness in your family. And you know, and if my dad was sick or my granddad was sick, or it's this runs in my family, that's a lie. The curse has been broken over you. The moment you came to faith and you were brought from the first pressing of the work of Jesus to bring you out of darkness and into light, okay? At that moment, every curse was broken over your life. Every single curse. And just because there's been sickness in your family, you see here Jesus saying to you this morning, that does not mean. In fact, you can claim your whole health and break everything that's come. Isn't that good news? I think that's brilliant. So there's three presses, right? And the third pressing in the life of in Jesus, the third pressing of the olive and the oil, is the journey of Jesus from the post, of the scourging post to the cross. And this is the climax, right? Being nailed to the cross. You know, and he's, when you think about this, Jesus is nailed by the you know, his Father is holy and he's righteous. And he's nailed to the cross, bearing your sin and mine. Now, on the cross, we have this kind of ultimate demonstration of his work. And where do we see this in the olive, in the oil that's poured out? Well, the third time, so we see Jesus in Gethsemane, Jesus at the scourging post, and now Jesus on the cross. Three times that he's pressed. Now, in the natural, the third time that an olive is pressed, so the first time it's for the best oil, which is about from darkness into light, like the oil of the new covenant poured over you. Second one, it's for your healing. The third one, actually, it was for cleansing. So the third time that an olive is pressed, they use the stuff, like the husk and the last bits, for cleansing products. And what this tells us is that this is about getting to the root in our lives, which is condemnation. So it's used for soap and it's used for cleansing. And this is about us actually finding ourselves in a place where all the condemnation and all the dysfunction that flows from that is completely cleaned up. And on that cross, right? So you can do this yourself, okay? You can buy cleansing products that are made from this oil stuff, and they're incredible. And I've looked at it. You know, we bought some when we were in Israel, and it really struck me when I was using it. It reminded me that actually my position today, because of Jesus and the third pressing on the cross, he took every bit of sin and dysfunction in my life, and he went right to the very core. He went right to the very core of who I am. And we talk about being cleansed, you know, but he made me brand new, right? He washed everything away from me and from you that would ever hold me back from a relationship with my Father. He cleansed me from everything that would hold me back from experiencing his goodness and his favor. And he made me brand new. And so what happens here is, you know, in those three pressings of Jesus, we see that, you know, this is how Jesus deals with the enemies that come against us. He brings us out of darkness. He heals us from sickness and he frees us from condemnation. And that's the table that he sets here before us. This is where he says, you know, if you sit at this table, right, with the bread and the wine and the anointing oil, this is where he says, you know, at that place, the flies won't be able to come and take rest in your head. They won't be able to come and burrow into your mind and into your heart. But just sit down and rest and allow me to anoint you with this work of Jesus. Let me pour it over your, you know, from the top. You know, when they poured it over the sheep, it was from the top down. They didn't kind of rub it in bits. They would have poured it right over. When David was anointed, when David said, you know, when he was anointed by Samuel, it wasn't just a wee bit. They literally poured it over in buckets. You know, it's like absolutely, so you were like flowing with it. You know, not just a wee bit. You know, we do the wee bit, you know, like rub it on your head kind of thing. But this was like you were absolutely drenched in it. And it's that's the sense that I get when I read Psalm 23. You anoint my head with oil means when you pour over me, Lord, you know, because I've brought out of darkness, you've healed my mind and my body, you promised me health, and you have removed the root of condemnation from my life so that I can believe in faith for all of your favor and all of your goodness by your grace, then what happens is my cup overflows. And so the thing is, there's no overflowing cup without first receiving the oil of Jesus' work. All right? Your cup doesn't overflow with self-effort. It doesn't overflow with pride. It doesn't overflow with performance or position or ministry. That our overflowing, our abundance, and our, you know, living that way comes from what? When we're anointed with oil. And so that's a quick word for you today. I hope that you're encouraged. Isn't it brilliant, actually, just as I'm finishing, where you see the detail in the word? Where you kind of go, you anoint my head with oil. That's just something that we say, but it's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Okay, so remember that. Remember that when you read it, that just like in the natural, as the olive is pressed three times and all of the goodness comes then, Jesus was pressed three times and all of the goodness that we need and he provided is ours through grace. So let me just encourage you with that word today. Psalm 23, like we've had 3 weeks at it and there's probably another 10 weeks at it. But I just want to leave you with that one today because I just find it such a powerful word. Such a powerful word indeed. So pray you've been blessed. Pray that you've had new hope. And I just pray, Lord, right now, as people are listening, that that word would take root in their hearts. Father, that the flies and the maggots of anxiety and worry and fear and doubt and all of that stuff would be gone in Jesus' name. And instead, Father, that you would flow with your anointing oil, with the full and finished work of Jesus and his grace. Amen.